You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it's a big day. Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Charles Barkley will join us coming up here in about 20 minutes. I think he's out of the prediction business, but Chuck will join us. The Colts quarterback, Philip Rivers. Fritzy likes Philip Rivers now. He hated him when he played for the Chargers.
That's very true.
Yeah. Are you going to tell Philip Rivers when you get him on the phone, hey, I hated you for almost 15 years?
Probably not going to do that.
Okay. Our favorite NBA reporter, Chris Haynes, will join us on the program from the bubble. That'll be in a little bit. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. We all know that offense sells. Sports change the rules to help scoring, and the NFL did it with passing. Baseball did it with baseballs, and although they deny it, the NBA cut out a lot of the physicality, which has created more spread out games offenses. The Rockets don't just spread the ball. They almost ignore two-point shots, and they hoist up as many threes as possible. And right now, tied with the Thunder at two games apiece, opening round playoff series. In game four, in a loss, they attempted 58 three-pointers, and they passed up easy two-point chances, kicked it back out. This isn't new for them. When it works, it's unstoppable. And when it doesn't work, it's unstoppable because they can't stop chucking up threes. The Warriors won titles with their version of this kind of offense, but the Rockets go to the next level. If they go to the next level, can it lead to a championship? And you've got basketball coming up tonight. It'll be the Thunder and the Rockets, the Blazers, Lakers, Magic, and the Bucks. The Nuggets came back to beat the Jazz, and it's a 3-2 in that series. The Clippers rolled the Mavericks, and they're now leading 3-2. Yesterday, Reggie Miller, in the final hour of the show, said he needed probably about 65 points between Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And I said, well, I feel pretty confident that Kawhi can give you 30. I wasn't sure about Paul George. But last night, Paul George played well. And what was interesting was not during the game and how he played, but what he said after the game.
The bubble got the best of me. I was just in a dark place. I really wasn't here. I checked out. So these past couple games, it was just difficult. But shout out to people that stood behind me, that was in my corner, the positivity, my teammates, my family, friends, everybody. Thank everybody that reached out to me. I was just in a bad place, and I found my way. I'm back, and I look forward to the rest of this run.
Okay. I said, you know, the last couple of days, is there something wrong with Paul George? Is there something wrong physically with him? And as it turns out, maybe mentally there has been. He was in a dark place, maybe depression there, and came out of it last night. Now, granted, they were kind of hollow numbers, but if I'm Doc Rivers, I'm encouraged by what I saw, that you're taking shots, making shots. You know, they blow out the Mavericks there. The Mavericks without Kristaps Porzingis. And, oh, that's right, we had a bet last night. I almost forgot about that. Yes, McLovin?
I'm so psyched. The Jamal Murray bet.
No,
we won.
No, we didn't do a Jamal. We didn't do a Jamal Murray bet.
Wait, what?
No, we did a Luka Doncic bet.
Oh,
because I said Luka would not score over 29 points last night, and all four Danettes said that they would take the over.
Well, you said he would score over.
He would not
for the series.
No.
Again?
So I got the Big German and Tyler. They're making, I think it's Boston cream pies there.
Oh.
Yeah, so that'll be for the latter part of the show. I don't want you having, you know, pie all over your face for an entire hour there. But you guys lost a bet. It's content, and you'll have to pay up a little later on. Yes, Paul.
First of all, there's nothing that puts you in a better mood than this. You came in with springs under your feet as you walked today.
Hello, fellas.
Hello, boys.
Yeah, I know.
Dun, 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 dun.
I did come in and I go, pie, guys. I mean, hi, guys.
Big smile on your face.
And then she asked you to borrow some money today, just flying around the studio. I feel bad about wasting pies, though. Like, I don't mind getting hit, but the waste of the pie, I'm still eating mine.
Well, we can set it up where I put you over a table and I hit you with it. Now, I'm thinking you guys do self-imposed pies. Like you have to smash your face.
Kamikaze style.
Yeah, yeah.
What if we have to get one of the other Danettes? Like Paul can get Todd or Todd can get Andrew or...
Do you want to do front row, back row? Where...
That could be fun.
Seton, you do to Paulie and then Paulie, you do it to Seton? You know what's better? Paulie... Fritzy.
Mm. That's tasty.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Todd, you okay with that?
Whatever you guys want to do.
Okay. Wait, do you want to do it?
That's fine.
Do you want to blast Paulie in the face with a pie?
You know, I'm happy to throw a pie at any of the guys. You guys are looking for violence and broken noses.
No, I'm not looking for violence. No broken noses.
Whoever you assign me to
okay.
is fine with me.
You have Paulie. Okay. Seton as McLevin.
Looking for violence and broken noses. What the hell's wrong with you?
It's just a pie to the face.
It's just a pie to the face,
Todd. What's the reason for delegating specific people to specific people?
It's content. You and Paulie have a little whatever you have, and I thought it might be fun if Paulie's going to let you go first, by the way.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. He wants to see how you administer the pie.
It's good to have last licks.
Yes, it
last
is. Yes, McLevin.
Can we throw them at each other from like 5 feet away to add like so athletic ability comes into this Ooh. Too? Instead of having the right
Well,
next
I got to make sure you get hit. Because you guys might have some kind of side deal where you go, hey, Seton, I'm going to act like I throw. I mean, Paulie can't throw.
I could barely hit someone who's physically next to me.
Yeah. I mean, Paulie's got one good eye. Can't have that. All right. So that's a little bit later on today. We'll have a poll question. We got a play of the day. I'm sure Ethan will come up with a stat of the day as well. There was a moment last night. You know, the game was out of reach with the Clippers and the Mavs. But there was a moment last night where Marcus Morris stepped on Luka Doncic's ankle. This just happened to be the sore ankle, the sprained ankle. Now, it's hard to read into intent, but I'm not going to give Morris the benefit of the doubt. If this had been Paul George, then I would, or Kawhi Leonard, then I would. But I'm not going to in this situation here. Because if you look at Morris, when he approaches Luka, he's not even making a basketball play. Because it's an out-of-bounds, and he immediately, it's almost like he targets Luka Doncic and goes right for the, so of all the ankles he's stepping on, he steps on the bad ankle there. And what was he doing around Doncic in the first place after a basket and taking the ball out of bounds? I don't know. The NBA needs to at least say something, because you've had the Montrezl Harrell moment. With what he said to Luka Doncic, there was a lot of chatter last night that the Clippers were saying things back to Doncic. Now, look, I don't want this to be, hey, let's tattletale. And all. Luka Doncic, by all accounts, looks like a grown man. He can take care of himself. But the NBA has to worry about this, because you can't pick and choose when you're handing out discipline, or you choose to look or listen the other way. And I think that I hate saying it, but I felt it last night. If last night's game was a closeout game and the Clippers were acting the way they were on the bench and then this happened, you might have seen something where push came to shove. I think the commissioner's got to at least, you know, send a message here that we're not going to put up with this. Rick Carlisle got tossed from that game last night because he thought that Morris did it on purpose. Not that he's going to say that he did it on purpose, but it looked like he did it on purpose. Here is Luka after the game.
I don't want to talk to him, you know. He's just saying a lot of bad stuff to me all the game, you know. And just I don't want to talk to him. And I just got to move on, you know. Like I say, everybody's going to have their own opinion. And, you know, I just hope it wasn't intentional. Because if that was intentional, that's really bad, man.
Yeah. And the NBA at least has to get the Clippers' attention just to say, guys, you know what? We're not going to put up with this. And you don't want to appear to just be protecting Luka in this situation. But given what has happened already, remember when Luka got clotheslined and then Porzingis got a technical there, you know, where they grabbed him and spun him around? So they've been, and this is the book, you know, you're trying to be physical on him. You want to see what he can take. You know, they did this with Nowitzki when he first came in. They used to make fun of him on the sidelines, his rookie year, calling him a lot of different things. Stuff like this happens, but in the bubble where we get to hear this, and then we saw the actual footage of what Morris was doing to Luka Doncic. In my opinion, it looked like he was trying to target him. And if I'm the NBA, you can't judge intent, but given the kind of temperature of this series, I'd be judging intent right now if I'm Commissioner Silver. Yes, Paulie.
If you're the NBA, and this is an obvious question, like the NFL quarterbacks, don't you overprotect the stars, especially with the ratings? you can't have a game without Luka Doncic present. And anything to keep those stars on the court, you can ding a guy like Morris and no one will miss a beat if he's not in the game.
Yeah, and you know, I'll ask Charles Barkley about it because I'm not here to overly protect, but I do think that there are moments where you're letting the guy who has less talent dictate. And that's the problem I have with the Clippers. Montrezl Harrell, he makes a layup and he celebrates like he just won game 7. Morris out there, you got to have these guys. These are valuable guys to win a championship, but you can't let that guy dictate what is going to happen. It's like when you have a goon in hockey and he all of a sudden is going to dictate what happens to the star players. It's just not good for the sport. And I think that that's something that any league should be looking out for, not just the NBA. Yeah, McLevin.
But it never goes away. I mean, Draymond is on it. There's a Draymond on every title team. Marcus Smart.
Yeah, but Draymond Green's going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done.
Right, but
Montrezl Harrell, nobody's going to care about his career.
But I still think Draymond's legacy might be got booted out of that finals for kicking a guy.
I know. Yeah. Being stupid, it cost him a championship. Yeah. But that's the role he plays. He's at least talented. You know, these other guys, you know, Draymond has made all-star teams, right?
What do you think of Marcus Smart? Because he's effective. Like, he plays super hard, but he also seems kind of dirty.
But I don't know if he's a cheap shot artist. This is, I'm grabbing, Luka goes to the hoop. This is how this started. And then they grabbed him and spun him around, and then he said something. And that's when Porzingis came in, and then Porzingis ended up getting tossed in a game that, had he not gotten tossed, they would have won, in my opinion. But if you're going to play hard basketball, you know, a playoff foul is different than a regular season foul, at least it used to be. But that, to me, you accidentally step on the best player on the floor on his injured ankle? I don't think I'm going to give you. And it wasn't in a scrum. It wasn't going up for a rebound or, hey, I accidentally did it. To me, it felt like it was an opportunity. It just did. Yeah, McLevin.
Isn't that sports, though? You go after the injured part. I know it's like, I mean, in football,
I can't do that in the NBA where I'm going to go after your ankle by stepping on it where you're not even watching.
Right. But the history of the sport, I mean, in football, you would go, if you knew the running back had an injured ankle, you'd step on his foot in the pile every time you could, right?
It's a different, but it's football.
Basketball is all, in the 70s and 80s, I felt like it was kind of like that.
But if you got caught, then that's where you have to answer. And in my opinion, you know, the Clippers played great. Played great. That should not be overshadowed. They played great. And maybe they looked at what the Lakers did the other night and went, you know, we better step our game up really quick here because we could be in trouble. And they haven't played great. They're still getting their pieces together. But I'm not going to give Morris or Harrell the benefit of the doubt in these situations here because you haven't earned it. And Doncic has said, this has been going on. The officials need to police this because basketball doesn't police itself. Because you don't have somebody on Dallas going, hey, I'm going to step on. Imagine if somebody goes, you know, I'm going to step on Kawhi's ankle. Hey, I'm going to be dirty to Kawhi. You don't want that. We want the best players on the floor. I don't want some marginal player out there dictating what could happen. Imagine if Luka, you know, couldn't play in the next game. So we get cheated because of that, because you allowed this to happen, or you didn't step in after the fact to say, we're not putting up with this nonsense anymore. But you got games coming up tonight. You got the Lakers trying to close out the Blazers, Thunder, and the Rockets. And that one is really interesting tonight. Magic and the Bucks. The Greek Freak is the Defensive Player of the Year. He's also going to be the MVP. I don't know how many times you've had Defensive Player of the Year and MVP in the same season, but you're seeing something special with the Greek Freak. I know he's not must-see TV. His team's not must-see TV, but he's turning in one of the great seasons, the last couple of seasons. And I always want to see how you improve. He went from averaging 6 points to 12 to 17 to 20. To 23, to 27, to almost 28, to almost 30. Every single year, his scoring has gone up. Got to be a better free throw shooter, but I'm nitpicking there. But that's pretty impressive with what he's done. By the way, the next great podcast, you have your opportunity, and the contest will close on Monday. Nextgreatpodcast.com. You submit your pitch. All the details are there. We're going to select up to 10 semifinalists and give them $1,000 to produce a pilot episode. And then you're going to have people voting on this around the country. TheNextRatePodcast.com. And then I'm going to go into business with you. And I'm this serious about podcasting. I have a couple other podcasts that are going to be announced today. The Battle for LA just came up with that, where it's basically what the influence of the NBA on the West Coast is meant with these two franchises, with the Clippers and the Lakers. Another podcast that I have called Two Guys from Hollywood, and another one is Meeting Tom Cruise. So just some podcasts that we're doing in conjunction with iHeartRadio. So it's not just the next great podcast. We're in this business, and we're in it to win. 17 after the hour, we'll talk to Charles Barkley. We'll do so next year on the Dan Patrick Show. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Let me start out by saying that, because ZipRecruiter is going to help you run your business. They're going to take care of the other things, like how do you hire somebody? A lot of applicants, but it's difficult finding the right one for your job. Finding time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. Man, those are hurdles. Those are big hurdles. But ZipRecruiter will get a job post and send it to the top 100 job sites. And then ZipRecruiter has powerful matching technology that will find you the right person with the right experience and invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster and help you win the hiring game. Go to ZipRecruiter. And you can go there for free, ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And remember, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get that quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. This program brought to you by folks at Home Depot. When it comes to flooring options for the pros, no one covers floors better than the Home Depot. With everyday low prices, even bigger savings when you purchase by the pallet. The pros' best option when it comes to flooring, the Home Depot, how doers get more done. McLovin, you got a poll question before I get to Charles Barkley?
Okay, just one kind of mean question. Would you rather win MVP and not get to the finals, or not win MVP and get to the finals or win a championship? This is a Giannis poll, basically Giannis poll. Like, is an MVP enough for this year if he doesn't get all the way to the finals, or is that going to be disappointing to win MVP?
It'd be disappointing, yeah, because he had a disappointing playoff last year where they didn't get to the finals. So, yeah, that'd be disappointing.
And one more quick one. Who's the guy whose star has risen the most in the bubble? Jamal Murray, Damian Lillard, Doncic, or Spider Mitchell?
That's a good one. Jamal Murray's getting there. The problem is he plays in the afternoon. So you only get to see his highlights, him and Donovan Mitchell. But I would say Damian Lillard, we knew. Doncic, we knew. I'd say Jamal Murray, because Mitchell was Rookie of the Year, wasn't he? And I think Jamal Murray. I keep looking at Jamal Murray and I go, Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, and I go, how did Kentucky only win one national title with all the talent that Tyler Harrow? I mean, good God, they have so much talent that went through there. All right, let me get to Charles Barkley, who, of course, is the star of TNT. Chuck, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I was worried about you last night. They were picking on you, and I thought if Kenny was a little bit bigger, you might have popped him.
No, man. We just have fun. You know, it's crazy right now, working every day, so we're just trying to make sure people watching and enjoying the show. The basketball's been good.
But are you out of the prediction business?
For today, I'm going to take some time off. I'm 0-for-3 on guaranteeing, so I'm going to take some time off. Yeah, I'm going to definitely take some time off.
Yeah, but you have to have something attached to your guarantee. Like, if it doesn't happen, then this has to happen.
Well, the good thing about my guarantees, you know, I'm not in one of those states where I can bet on the app right now for FanDuel. So, and I'm not near a casino. So right now, they're just words.
Well, that's probably a good thing. I did love the Blazers prediction just from the fact that you were so strong with it. And then Shaq broke your broom when you said there was going to be a sweep. That was good TV.
Yeah, man, you know, the Blazers, it looks like they've run out of gas. But yeah, the main thing, the Lakers are making shots. You know, they were the worst three-point shooting team in the NBA all season. But the last three games, they're making shots. I mean, we knew AD and LeBron were going to play great. But now they're making shots. The key is, can they keep doing it? I mean, because even though they're on a hot streak, you know, their track record says they're the worst three-point shooting team in the NBA all season.
Yeah, I don't know if Portland is going to solve everything for the Lakers. To me, it was kind of the perfect team to face because they don't play any defense. But I don't know what's going to happen this next round. I mean, Utah has been surprisingly good considering Conley left the bubble. Bogdanovich had the wrist surgery there. So I don't know who do the Lakers want to face between Denver and Utah?
Wait, don't they play the Rockets next?
Reggie was saying yesterday that the Lakers facing Utah would be great.
Well, first of all, Utah, I can't remember the brackets right off the top of my head.
McLevin, check that for me to see if Chuck is right.
Yeah, Lakers-Rockets.
Lakers-Rockets, okay. Or yeah, Lakers-OKC, okay.
Yeah, and listen, it all depends on Westbrook, but they'd be favored over the Rockets. Listen, that Denver series, if Denver plays in the defense, I picked Denver to win that series. They played great last night, but that's still a pick 'em series in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the Rockets – I mean, that philosophy, you live by it and you die by it. You know, do you – I mean, they'd pass up twos, Chuck, to take a three.
You know what? Listen, they have a style. They're going to go with it. You know, in the third quarter the other night, they made 8 straight threes to start, and they went out to a good lead. And then down the stretch, they were 5 for 26.
Yeah.
They were actually 4 for 26. They threw one up at the buzzer that went in that didn't count. I mean, it counted. So they were four for 26. Listen, it was great if it works, but I think shooting a basketball is probably the hardest part of basketball, and you're just going to go through streaks where you can't make them. You know, that year against the Warriors, they missed like 30 in a row. And my question is, can they, against an elite team, an elite defensive team, can they make 4 out of 7 days? And I just think that's too hard to do.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think they're a great regular season curiosity. But when it gets to the postseason, I just think that system is flawed because their shooters aren't as good as Golden State shooters. And Golden State plays defense as well when they were having their title runs.
Well, and also, I think you put so much pressure on one guy. James is the best one-on-one player I've probably ever seen. You know, no disrespect to Michael or Kobe, but James Harden, when I said it a few years ago, everybody said I was crazy. Now they know this guy is unstoppable one-on-one.
Yep.
But the problem is you always get tired. I mean, I remember when I was I live in Phoenix. I thought Steve Nash wore down every year. I believe that. I just think it's too hard to do that for 2 straight months.
And the same with Iverson. You know, these guys who have to carry that every single night, people don't realize, A, the pressure and just the energy that you exert trying to do that every single night.
Well, and you know, Dan, one thing that I've said is you have to do it every single night. You think about it. LeBron had a bad game, and they still beat Portland. Jamal Murray's had some bad – like, James Harden is the only player in the NBA who has to play great for his team to win every night because he has the ball 100% of the time. He has to play great every single night. There's no other player in the NBA who has to play great for their team to win.
I'd argue Luka has to play great for that team to win.
Well, I'm saying he can get, the other day when he scored the 40 points, that was fantastic. But if he got 25 points, they could still win. James has to get, in my opinion, James has to get a minimum of 30 a night for that team because he's the guy, especially with no Russ.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And speaking of Luka last night, you know, the Clippers blow him out. But, you know, there's that moment where Morris steps on Luka's bad ankle. Now, if you're the NBA, do you read anything? It's hard to read intent into something, Charles, but given the physicality and what's happened with the Clippers to Luka and what they've said and done, do you say or do anything to the Clippers if you're the commissioner?
You know, the plays have not looked good, in my opinion, because if you look at the play, the play's already dead. The ball's in the basket. There's no reason for him to be going toward that basket. You would actually be getting back on defense. I don't want to get on your show and accuse somebody of playing dirty, but I will say this. There was no reason for him to be going toward Luka in that situation. I mean, the ball's in the basket, and you normally would be getting back on defense. It's not a good look. I mean, Adam's going to have to take a look at that, but it doesn't look good. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, once again, it's hard to read intent in there, but I agree with you. I said that about 15 minutes ago. Morris is not making a basketball move. There's no reason for him to be going towards Luka because it's an inbounds pass there, and then he steps on the back of his ankle there. So
yeah, I mean, Dan, listen, I don't ever want to get on TV and accuse somebody of doing something dirty, but I'm saying, listen, the evidence does not look good. There's no reason. I mean, the ball's in the basket. And I've looked at it 100 times. I'm exaggerating, obviously. I'm like, okay, the ball's in the basket. He's not even close to the lane when the ball goes in the basket. Yeah. And then he runs in the lane and steps on the guy's ankle. It's not a very good look.
What do you think of the Clippers right now? Last night changed anything?
Well, I think they saw the Lakers play with great energy and effort, and they're like, you know what? We can't beat that team the way we're playing. Listen, I think that 100% of people in the world going into the season thought it was going to come down to the Lakers and Clippers. I think it's fair to say it's pretty much still going to come down to the Lakers and Clippers in the West. You know, Denver's really inconsistent and bad defensively. I think Utah, the loss of Bogdanovich, is a really big deal. You know, I thought if Bogdanovich played, that was a pick'em series. So I don't think anything changed my mind. It's going to be the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, in my opinion.
Charles Barkley, the Hall of Famer, TNT's Inside the NBA, joining us on the program. Greek Freak is Defensive Player of the Year. Now he's going to be the MVP. Can you be the best player in the sport but not be the face of a sport?
Well, listen, what he's accomplished at this age is incredible. And I tell you what, Dan, he's such a great kid. His humility. You know, I think about last year when we had him on the award show and he won the MVP, he was crying. I mean, even last night when we gave him the Defensive Player of the Year, he was emotional. He's a great kid. I heard you guys talking about earlier one of your poll questions. I mean, he's only 26.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Jordan didn't win his first championship until he was 28. I think the same thing with LeBron. You know, I get frustrated when these guys in the media, not you, but the guys in the media talking about, well, if he don't win the championship this year, he's got to leave Milwaukee. I'm like, nobody said that to Michael Jordan when he would, I love the way these guys like, oh, he hasn't won it. He's got to leave Milwaukee to win the championship. I hope he wins the championship. It'd be great for the NBA. I hope he stays in Milwaukee. I'd hate to see him join a super team because, you know, that dilutes the NBA. But what he's accomplished so far is incredible. And I would love for him to be the face of the NBA because he's such a great kid and a hell of a player.
Whose reputation has gone up the most in the bubble? Damian, Doncic, Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell?
Well, that's a really difficult question and a great question. You know, listen, I think that Dame was awesome. You know, that team, man, they got a lot of talent. I hate that they ran out of gas. I wish they could be together for the entire season because they would have been a one or two seed. But what Donovan has done so far and what Luka's done, man, listen, the NBA has got some great players. They're really close to being superstars. I mean, man, I feel really good about where we're going in the future. But I don't think you can say – I'll take any one of those guys you've mentioned, man, to be honest with you. I mean, they've been great in the bubble. And listen, I want to give Adam Silver a shout-out. Let me tell you something, man. I have been on the record. I thought there was no way this thing would work. I thought there was no way this thing worked. Same thing with my boys in hockey. Shout out to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Hell of a game last night. My boy John Cooper, the coach. I was watching the whole game. But let me tell you something. I thought there was no way this thing could work without a bunch of positive tests. But shout out to Gary Bettman and Adam Silver. And also to the players for staying really – I mean, we've had a couple of hiccups. But I cannot believe we made it this far with no positive tests. Now, that's going to change the next round when we start bringing in families and things like that. But we've already been farther than I ever thought we would get.
And also, Paul George said he was in a dark place. He was battling depression in the bubble there.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what that was about. I have already talked to a couple of players, and they were complaining about the food and things like that. I'm not sure when you're – listen, the people who are living in the pandemic, who've lost their jobs, you know, we got a hurricane battling down on Houston, the two hurricanes. You know, so I don't think guys making millions of dollars should be worried just because they're stuck in a place where they can go fishing and play golf and play basketball and make millions of dollars. That's not a dark place. The thing that just happened in Wisconsin – the thing that's happening with this pandemic, all these people losing their job, those people are in a dark place. We are the luckiest people in the world to dribble a stupid basketball and make millions of dollars. We're never in a dark place. I just think we need to be careful what we complain about. I mean, those people who are getting ready to get hit with those two hurricanes in the middle of a pandemic, that's awful, man. My thoughts are to those people.
You brought up what happened in Wisconsin with Jacob Blake. And there was talk yesterday that some of these players were looking at maybe sitting out. You know, the Raptors, a couple of Fred VanVleet, that maybe they would sit out a game in protest of what happened when he was shot seven times. This might come down to, does LeBron, like I don't know how much pressure is on LeBron to do something. Because when LeBron does it, then everybody else does it. But do you think that there's a potential of these players maybe sitting out a game as a show of protest with what happened?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that would do, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think they got an amazing platform. I thought, like last night, Doc Rivers, I thought, stole the show. I thought he was amazing. Just the emotion. You know, Dan, I'm never going to tell anybody they're right or wrong the way they want to protest, but I'm not sure how sitting out a game, boycotting a game would have an effect on the situation. You know, we need police reform. We need prison reform. Those are two things we really need. You know, I talked about it last night on the show. I said, you know, I'm disappointed that because bad cops are making it unsafe for the good cops. That's what I said last night. If all the good cops, then most of the cops are great. I don't care what anybody says. I think most of the cops are great. But they're making it unsafe for the good cops, the bad cops. And I'm disappointed in the police union. I think the police need to get together and get rid of their union, to be honest with you, because they're making it unsafe for the good cops. We need cops. If it wasn't for the cops, I mean, everybody calls the cops when things are bad. But we have some cops who shouldn't be cops. My bodyguard is a cop. For 30 years. His wife was a cop for 30 years. Shout out to James Haywood. And we talk about it all the time. I always get his opinion on these shootings. And he always said, hey, he'll tell me when the cops are right. He'll tell me when the cops are wrong. And so this clearly was a, you know, the shooter guy in the back with kids in the car. You know, I know that was an altercation beforehand, which I'm not sure what's going on with the media. They did not show us the altercation in advance. There was an altercation in advance before he went to his car. They have to show us that. But that being said, I think we got to find a way to de-escalate the situation without shooting a guy in the back seven times with his kids in the car.
Yeah. And unarmed.
And unarmed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think you have to really be careful there, Dan. Like I said, I know he was unarmed, but, you know, if you get in a fight with somebody and they go to their car, that's a really scary situation. But there's got to be a better way than shooting a guy 7 times in the back with his kids in the car.
Good to visit with you. You got Thunder, Rockets, Magic, Bucks, Blazers, Lakers. You excited?
You know, Dan, this is turning into like a real job. We work every day.
It's like the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but that's only a couple days. You know, working. You know, Dan, I'm 57. I've never worked every day in my life. This is no joke. Hey, I'm starting to like you and the nerds a lot more now. It's like, man, how do y'all get up and go to work every day? This is no joke.
I don't know how people don't get up every day and go to work.
Well, they call professional players. They're called jocks. We don't go to work every day.
Are you playing golf today?
No, man. The weather has been awful in Atlanta. You know, we're in a bubble in Atlanta. It has rained every day for, you know, we're getting the remnants of those two hurricanes. So it has rained every day for a week, and it's going to rain every day for another week because, like I say, we're not in the path of the hurricane, but we're getting the side effects.
Have you had Shaq out playing golf?
No. Shaq is, he's too busy smoking hookah to play golf.
Wait, do you have a video of Shaq smoking his hookah?
Shaq does hookah every single day, Dan. He loves hookah. You know, I've been a couple times because I'm not a big hookah guy, but he loves his hookah, man. He loves it.
What kind of feeling does it give you?
You know, it didn't do anything for me. I don't know how it affects other people. It didn't do anything for me. It's kind of like when I smoke pot. I smoked pot like 5 times in my life, and all it made me want to do is eat potato chips. Like, I got a couple homeboys who love pot, who smoke it all the time. I've tried about 5 times in my life, and like I say, all it makes me want to do is eat potato chips.
You don't need pot to do that.
No, but I'm saying, like, I love potato chips, obviously, like most people do. But, you know, I tried to be like one of my boys, like, yo, man, try this. And I tried, and I'm like, it didn't make me feel no type of way. I'm like, yo, man, it just makes me hungry. It's kind of like yoga. Like yoga, I've done yoga before. And they're like, well, don't it take you to a different place? I'm like, no, it don't do anything for me. I feel like I'm stretching. No, it doesn't free my mind or anything. It just makes me feel like I'm stretching.
Good to visit with you. And,
all right, man. Thanks for having me, man. Thank you for having me.
All right, buddy. That's Charles Barkley. We'll take a break. Play of the day is up next here. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
Oh, my God.
The play of the day.
Check this out.
And the pitch to Gonzalez. Line shot into right, coming in his angle. He's got the ball. And this one's over. And Lucas Giolito has thrown a no-hitter here at Guaranteed Rate Field. August 25th of 2020, Lucas Giolito no-hits the Pirates.
Oh, they pipe in the crowd noise. WGN AM 720 with the call. Lucas Giolito throws the first no-hitter of the 2020 season. Struck out 13. He walked 1, and they beat the Pirates 4-0, the White Sox. They won 8 of their last 9. They're 1.5 games back of the Twins at the top of the AL Central. I believe the Nationals traded Giolito to the White Sox in 2016 for Adam Eaton. I like the White Sox talent. I don't know if anybody, even in Chicago, cares about the White Sox talent. Southside, I guess they do, but it feels like they got a little bit of a base there of maybe being an interesting team there. Play of the day is brought to you by Home Depot. When it comes to flooring options for the pros, no one covers floors better than the Home Depot. With everyday low prices, even bigger savings when you purchase by the pallet, the pros' best option when it comes to flooring. The Home Depot, where doers get more done. I mentioned the number of players who went to Kentucky. You know, I'm watching Devin Booker go off and Jamal Murray. Bam Adebayo, Eric Bledsoe. You start to run down Anthony Davis, and then you go, Kentucky won one title with all of that talent that went through there. It's like the Atlanta Braves. You know, the Braves won one World Series title, and they won all of those divisions. They had like 14 playoff appearances, and they won one title and had one of the great rotations in the history of baseball. But you start to run down, like I didn't even mention De'Aaron Fox, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Enes Kanter, Kevin Knox, Malik Monk. Who else is on this? Good God. Nerlens Noel, Patrick Peterson, Julius Randle, Rajon Rondo, Karl Anthony Towns, John Wall, P.J. Washington. That's probably 25 players from Kentucky who are in the NBA right now. Man. Yeah, boy.
And you know that John Calipari, when he's recruiting those kids, puts that list front and center on the desk. Here's the what my guys have made. Here's what he always talks about it. His former players have made $1 billion.
But do you brag about it? Because I would then go, how many championships did you win? I know you're only there 1 year, and Coach Cal is up front. He's transparent with that. But, like, accidentally, you'd think you'd win another title with that group. And didn't they win a title and Anthony Davis in the title game? Did he not score in the title game?
I think he had, like, a couple foul shots or something. He got on the board but barely scored.
Yeah. But, man, that's a lot of talent going through there. It's kind of like when I watch an NFL game and I'll go, oh, that guy went to LSU, and that guy went to LSU, and that guy went to LSU. Like, you just go, they're just, some of these schools have so much talent. Yes, McClellan.
Well, it's not as bad as, like, a North Carolina football that has, like, 8 first-round picks, and they're not good at all.
Yes. There are times when you go, oh, I went to North Carolina. Oh, he went to North Carolina. How is North Carolina not any good? LSU, you expect them to be good. Coming up next hour, Philip Rivers will join us on the program, the Colts quarterback. Would you rather have the career of Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning? I'll hang up and listen. Philip Rivers, no titles. Roethlisberger, a couple of titles. Eli, a couple of titles. I'm going to go Roethlisberger because Roethlisberger, I think, has been great during the regular season, and he's also got a couple of Super Bowls. Eli was just sort of present during the regular season, and then he had a couple of magical postseasons. But Philip hasn't done anything in the postseason. They're all three going to be Hall of Famers, but Ben would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't know if Eli is. God, I don't want to go down that path. Where is Eli elite? Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Like, oh, I can't do that to you. All right, did we settle on the poll question, McLevin? Are we good?
We have a very intriguing option that I will tell you after the break.
Look at you, teasing. All right, 1 hour in the books, 2 more to go. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLevin, yours truly. This is The Dan Patrick Show.